section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Sting wrestles on Raw, GFW versus TNA, and Night of Champions is this Sunday. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is here. Let's get right into the news. So how does Raw do against, well, the NFL? Because it was their season premiere this last Monday.
Yeah, which I just want to say, I absolutely hate that term. A season is not 52 weeks long. Typically, a season is, you know, maybe 10, 16 episodes, something like that. I really, really, really hate that. But they're trying to compete with the NFL. And actually, they didn't do too bad against them. The NFL had two Monday night games. They had an East West Coast game, basically. And Raw actually did well for both the East and the West Coast, since the West Coast is a little delayed. They actually were a little up from last week's, which normally we don't talk about the numbers, but going up against the NFL, it is kind of a big deal. The question that remains, though, is we have 16 weeks of Monday Night Football. So this is week one. We have 15 more weeks. Are they going to be able to keep that momentum going, or are we going to see a massive drop off sometime real soon?
It really depends on what happens at Night of Champions, because I think that's going to decide, hey, how is this going to turn out? The other thing is that with Night of Champions, the WWE, after the pay-per-view is ran, they run it again, and then they run it pretty much on Monday. They'll run it from, I think, if I'm correct, 6 to, I think, 3 o'clock during the day. So how many people are actually going to watch it live? I know that the WWE doesn't care about the live aspect when it comes to pay-per-views, but is it going to hurt it because people are wanting to watch football? I don't even remember what the Sunday night game. Oh, Sunday night game is St. Louis, Seattle versus the Packers, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, that's what I think it is, which is obviously a really big game. And as we had talked about, I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, about them changing the start time for pay-per-views. This is a golden opportunity right here. You know, you have, for the NFL, two very big franchises going at it for Sunday Night Football. And for the most part, I probably would be watching this game if I was not a wrestling fan. And, you know, I'll probably be flipping back and forth, to be quite honest.
Okay, so I'm doing the math right now. If you, let's say it started at 7 p.m. Eastern time, all right? So it'd be 6 o'clock for me, 4 o'clock for you. Yep. Football at that time is usually over with. The afternoon games are just ending at that time. Yep. If you had a blockbuster main event, and let's say the game was S-A-W-F-T, soft, and let's just say that they're bored with it. You could say, hey, Sting is wrestling for the WWE Championship. Let's flip to that real fast and watch that for a few minutes, and then we'll come back to the NFL. Because around that time, that's when halftime is. It's between 8:45 and 9:15. That's a golden time for them to do this. But I think in this case, they've missed the boat. But if they decided, hey, we're going to start running it, I'd even go as far as to say, let's start running them at 5 o'clock Eastern time. So then it's 4 for me, 2 for you. I would almost prefer that because, okay, let's say our team is the Bears. It's over with at 3. Then pregame starts at 3 o'clock for the WWE Network. I'd probably watch that because you really only have...
Pregame is pointless. It is so stupid.
I still watch it.
I know what you're saying, though. You're saying that it might be good for certain parts of the country, which I agree with. I think that it could be. But not to belabor the point, though. In my opinion, I think that WWE pay-per-views should start at 7 o'clock from now on, 7 o'clock Eastern, as a way to help out with the NFL. And yeah, you only have, what, 3-4 pay-per-views that are going to be going up against the NFL, but it's not a bad idea because, you know what, if that's going to be your biggest competitor, then you need to make concessions, you know? You don't just sit there and be like, no, we're way better than them. They're not a real competitor. No, they are, because they're obviously taking away a lot of viewers from you.
And this is something we could talk about a lot more, but just check out last week's episode, Off the Mark 285, and we talk about it for, I think, almost 10 minutes about the start times. So let's talk about WWE programming for this week. So it turns out that Ryback is going to take on Kevin Owens. When did this feud start? I don't remember.
It started on SmackDown during the Lumberjack match when Kevin Owens tripped Ryback. And then obviously that started a big feud. And this segment felt a little, you know, cringeworthy. That word, I think, is what is best to describe this. It was a little cringeworthy because Owens did his best to deliver, you know, the promo that he did. And Ryback's strength is not in his speech. OK, you need to not have him talk that much. If anything else, you could actually have him. You could pair him with somebody who is a great talker. You know, like kind of like a Paul Heyman, not that that experiment worked, but you have somebody like that. And that's how you could do that. To be honest, it feels insanely rushed. And I have nothing better to do. Or I'm sorry, I have no other option but picking Ryback as the winner of this one. I just don't see how Kevin Owens wins this unless they're trying to shock the world. But even if that's the case, what a way to win your first title, your first major title in the WWE, by having a 1 week buildup. You know, that's stupid. I think that's terrible, terrible booking on WWE's part.
It's terrible. Yeah, I completely agree with you on this one. Unless they're going to do something at the end of the month, I think it's the first Saturday in October. That's when they're going to do the Madison Square Garden thing. Let me make sure. Yeah, I think it's on October 3rd. That's the only thing I can think of if they're going to say we're going to continue it at that time and then do the title change, because I think that would mean a lot more if you do it on that at that time. But the other problem you're going to run into is, hey, there's college games going on. So
yeah,
no matter how you look at it, it's a tough one for the WWE. But yeah, this whole thing, like you said, it feels way too rushed. You don't start on SmackDown and then finish it on Raw and then continue it on SmackDown again. And then you're like, oh, by the way, here's the paper. Here's the curtain jerker. And Kevin Owens, you got to give him credit. They're putting it with someone who cannot talk, like you said. And this could be a big deal for Owens if he can carry Ryback, because this then says that he can work with anybody. You can put it with the crappiest guy, he's still going to work his butt off. So who do you think is going to partner with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, Aaron?
You know, there's a lot of speculation. People are saying Eric Rowan. There's been some names running around, such as Kane and Chris Jericho. I don't think Jericho or Kane will be either of the mystery partner. I think Eric Rowan is probably the most likely scenario that we see here. He's somebody that would be a little bit of a shocker. I'm not the biggest Eric Rowan fan personally, but if you have Eric Rowan come back as a face, so to speak, that would be a shocker. The only issue, though, is that Eric Rowan and Luke Harper reunited before Rowan got injured. So this is going to be terrible storytelling if they go that route. My guess is they're going to have somebody... They're going to have somebody kind of special come back. It's going to be kind of a one night only thing. Not necessarily Mick Foley, because I know that he's completely out, but I would guess it'd be somebody kind of like him. You know, it'd be some sort of legend to take down Bray Wyatt and the rest of his crew.
You know, I'm actually looking to see with Rowan, he's actually going to be out for quite a while. I don't think he's going to be able to come back so early. I thought about maybe one of the Usos, but at that time, that's it. I mean, who? Alex Riley? You could have Alex Riley. You could have Sami Zayn. You could really shock someone if Sami Zayn came back.
Sami Zayn would be a shock. Alex Riley, people would go, who is that? You know, that's the problem. I think that'd be a terrible, terrible idea.
Okay, just to let you know, the earliest Eric Rowan is going to be able to come back is actually at the end of October with his he tore his biceps. So that's a big deal. So it's going to be at least 4 months. So best case scenario, it would be the end of October. He might be, you know, ahead of the curve. You never know. But I also thought, wouldn't it be interesting if Dean Ambrose turned?
It would be interesting. I think that'd be a bad idea. They're billing it with a mystery partner, so I doubt that they would have Dean Ambrose turn. I just don't see it. I really don't.
Okay, let's say Ambrose does turn, though, because he was fighting Bray Wyatt, and you can go back to the point where he saw the shadow come up and he was mesmerized by that. Do you remember that pay-per-view? I can't remember which one it was, but it's where the ghost figure came up and started talking to him. He's like, huh? And then, you know, Bray Wyatt came back. But yeah, I wish it was one of the Hardys, but we know that they can't come back. It could be Shane Helms. That would be interesting.
I think, getting back to the realm of reality here, I think we could see like Cesaro You know, he doesn't have a match. He hasn't been fighting anyone. If they really want to move Bray Wyatt onto a new feud, you could have Cesaro be the guy and then have Bray Wyatt going after Cesaro and move Ambrose and Reigns onto other things. That's another scenario. But I don't know. I would like to be surprised here. I actually would really like to have it be somebody that we were not expecting, but not have it be something stupid like Shane Helms, but have it be, you know, somebody like The Rock. You know, that would be amazing. It'd be like, oh my God, The Rock is there. But they would advertise The Rock. They're not going to have him in a match and not advertise. So I don't see it being him. But anyway, moving on though, Nikki Bella defeated Charlotte by DQ, you know, or by, you know,
Charlotte defeated. Yeah, she won by DQ.
Nikki Bella retained. That's the big thing. So Nikki Bella is going to, she eclipsed AJ Lee's record. But the thing that was very, very interesting, talking about how many times she defended her title, the biggest thing that I found surprising was that she has not defended it since Beast in the East, which was on, of course, the 4th of July. And, you know, even before then, I couldn't tell you really any of her feuds. She really padded her stats. I mean, it was a, okay, I'm not going to defend this title for 2 full months, 2.5 months, really. And then after that, you know, okay, fine, I guess I can lose. I just want the record, though. You know, that's all she does. She just wants the record. And I think it's very unfortunate because somebody like an AJ Lee, who was a real wrestler, who deserved that title and deserved that record, no longer has it anymore. And instead, you're giving it to somebody who, for all intents and purposes, is probably only still there because it's John Cena's girlfriend.
And I believe that, yeah, I believe that's the only reason why she has a title. That is the only reason why. Because when you watch her wrestle, she started to improve a little bit, and then she stopped. It's almost like all of a sudden, like one thing about at least Brie has continued to improve. And it's like Nikki's like, I'm just going to go by my looks, and that's it. And that, well, I think
to be
that's
honest, neither of them can really wrestle.
Well, Brie has improved, though. Brie has improved.
Yes, she has improved. But, you know, as Roger would say, a D is better than an F.
that is true. But yeah, this just like frustrates, you know, because the thing is,
here's what I would.
But here's the thing, Aaron, she has to win on Sunday then. Because otherwise,
no, she doesn't have to.
But
no,
if she's like, oh, I just barely beat AJ's record.
Who cares? Well, it's still a record. Have that her. Won. That's all that matters.
She needs to have it until Hell in the Cell. That's my problem with this.
No, she does not.
She does.
She has the record now. Who cares? Who cares?
She has
loses the
a
title?
Record, but realistically, who she doesn't.
Yeah, she does. She has the record.
Man.
She's held the title for more days than AJ Lee held her title for. So she has the record. If she doesn't defend it for another year, she still has that record. If she loses it right now, she still has that record. It doesn't matter when she loses the title.
What happened to the 30-day rule?
Exactly. Well, you know what? They didn't do that for Dean Ambrose when they, you know, ruined his U.S. title reign. They didn't do it for Brock Lesnar when they ruined his title reign either. But no, here's what I would have done. This is how I would have made it different. I would have had Nikki Bella lose the title when the Divas Revolution happened. I would have had those Divas, I would have had them take on Nikki Bella and basically go after the title and say that this is important. Then she has to fend off all newcomers. So now you have 6 people you have to defend that title against. And then maybe Brie wants a little piece of it. Maybe Alicia Fox does. So now she's defending it against everybody. And somebody at some point in time wins that title at the last pay-per-view. That's what I would have done.
I'm going to say right now, Paige is going to turn.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because
I think Charlotte should, to be honest. But
well, I thought about it more and more because the way it looks, I think that some way, somehow, Charlotte's going to come close and Paige is going to go nuts and then it's going to break up. Because right now, what's Bad doing? They're not really, they're just kind of there. And then,
well, they need to get rid of Tamina. You know, she and honestly, even Naomi, they're kind of useless. It's really the Sasha Banks show. And, you know, Becky Lynch is interesting. Charlotte is, you know, interesting enough. So, you know, those three coming up, those are the three that you want to put the focus on. So, yeah, I mean, turning Paige is totally fine so long as they have a good storyline to go with it. The problem with WWE is that they will sometimes just turn somebody because they think it'd be interesting and with no plan going forward.
And here's my plan right now. What's going on is that it's like the Divas Revolution. Okay, so you have some wrestlers. So you have PCB are all wrestlers. You have Sasha Banks. And Naomi's okay. Tamina's good. And then you have Alicia Fox. And then that's it. So that's really the wrestlers. the Divas Revolution, it... Okay, I'm sorry. I said this wrong. Here's what my thought was. Have you noticed that when the girls were in NXT, the matches were awesome? Even Paige's were awesome. And then Paige gets called up. Her matches were awesome, and then they kind of went down to the other Divas. And I'm wondering if they say, no, you can't do this in this match because it's going to make Nikki look bad because she can't wrestle as good as you guys can. That's what I think is going on here. And actually, that part bothers me because, come on, you shouldn't have to dumb down your style. That's why the Divas Revolution now has pretty much failed. You brought up three girls that can wrestle, and then you put them down to you dumbed them down. And that part bothers me. It really does.
Welcome to the WWE.
Yeah, apparently. But hey, speaking of welcome to the WWE, Sting, he wrestled for the first time on Raw, which was a big deal. And of course, Big Show came out and, Seth Rollins came out. And it was just basically they're going to beat him down. And then all of a sudden, John Cena makes a save. What are you doing here? Oh, Cena's going to wrestle. That's right. So then that's what happens.
So I like the idea of promoting matches before they happen. You know, I understand what WWE does. They choose to, you got to tune in Monday night. Otherwise, you won't even know what's going to happen. You have to tune in because who knows what type of matches we're going to have. But I think the idea of last week saying, all right, Sting, if this is what you're going to do next week on Raw, for the first time ever, Sting is going to wrestle in a WWE ring on Raw. That would have been a headline grabber, would have been a big deal. WWE could have been talking about this, and they probably would have got some more viewers because people would be like, oh, Sting's in WWE? Like, I remember Sting. And that would be a bigger deal. I really hate the fact that this was like kind of thrown together at the top of the hour. And I understand why, because they want people to tune in and everything. But if anything else, if I didn't know that, I may not tune in, which means I'm not going to watch any of your show, you know? So I didn't like that. Also, honestly, I don't like Sting wrestling on Raw. I think it was a very bad idea because as the rule always is, if you win on Monday night, you're going to lose on Sunday night. And Sting won. So does that mean that Seth Rollins is going to win?
I don't know.
You have to pick right now. Sting or Rollins. Who's going to win the title?
Sting.
You still think Sting is going to win?
Yes.
I don't anymore.
Really?
And it's because he won on Raw. I think that Sting is now 1-1 and he won on Raw. And typically that means that you're going to lose. I actually thought that he was going to win well before that because, you know, what would be a bigger headline grabber than WCW champion wins WWE title, you know, 54-year-old man wins WWE title. That could be a pretty big headline grabber, you know? So I don't know. I'm really starting to think now that Rollins is going to walk out the WWE champion. US title, I don't really know. Don't really care that much, to be honest. You know, we'll find out on Sunday.
Hey, I just thought about something before we move on. What if Damian Sandow was the mystery partner?
They have butchered him and they have nothing for him, so it won't be him.
Really? All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a FreeSite Builder, hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEshop.com. Well, I guess we can talk some Impact Wrestling now. Earl Hebner is going to be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame after 9 years being with the company. I'm not sure what to think about this because, okay, it's a ref, and they say he's the most famous ref, but yeah. I would almost argue that I can't think of the guy's name now from WCW. Oh,
well, then obviously he's not very famous.
I guess he's not. He was from WCW, small, thin guy. I can't think of the guy's name.
Was it Curtis something, right?
Yeah, him. Because it was funny. The only reason I bring him up is because I saw a video where someone came into the ring and he nailed the guy. Like fully, like, wrestled him. And I was laughing my butt off. Botchmania.com, of course. But anyways, Earl Hebner. All right. He's in the Hall of Fame. That's all you can say.
Does he deserve it?
who knows what's going to happen with TNA. But if you're talking about, does he deserve it? I think he deserves to go in, but actually, I don't know. This is a toughie for me because I would say yes sometimes, but then no the next day.
Because it's a simple yes or no. Does he deserve to be in? Yes
does
or
a,
no?
Does a ref deserve to be in? That's the thing. If you say, can we put refs in the Hall of Fame? Then I would say
this is the TNA Hall of Fame.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
Simple.
They're going to throw probably Mark, John Madden there next week. Okay, so in this case, yeah. And all they're doing is it's just for press.
All right. So here's my feeling on the whole thing. They had made the decision. Jeff Jarrett's going to be the newest inductee into the TNA Hall of Fame. TNA has done one person every year or a set of people. For example, they did Team 3D last year, which made sense because, are 18. They deserve to go in together. But before that, it was Kurt Angle and Sting, which those guys make sense as well. Jeff Jarrett already went in this year, so I'm a little confused why they're putting two people in. Normally, it was this is this person's special moment. My question then to TNA is, what's going to happen in 2016? Who are you going to put in? 2017, who are you going to put in? WWE has a million people that they can put in, which is totally fine because they have a long list of people that they can put in. TNA doesn't really have that, if you're talking about TNA's lineage. So that's the only thing I'm thinking about with TNA, what they could do or what they might potentially do.
Oh, jeez. What do you think is going to happen with TNA? Do you think they're done at the end of the month?
No, they're not.
All right. So this is interesting. GFW invaded TNA. So it's GFW versus TNA. And, GFW has the tag titles.
Well, they had them.
Well, they have them. Now they don't. No,
well, yeah. So GFW TNA happened, right? You had the invasion angle. And Jeff Jarrett say, I'm coming to take over TNA with my GFW folks. And so they invaded with a bunch of people who you did not know. You probably knew PJ Black, maybe Chris Masters, Kurt Hawkins. That's about it, really, that I can think of off the top of my head. So they come back, they win the tag titles, and then they lose them the next week or the next day. So what was the point in that? Then PJ Black wins the King of the Mountain title against a lot of really great TNA people, and then he loses it the following week to Robert Roode. So right now, GFW has nothing. They really have nothing. And then Dixie Carter put her shares on the line against Jeff Jarrett. And then they do a Six Sides of Steel match, and GFW loses, as expected. And so what was the point? What was the point? What was the four-week invasion that they did? Three-week invasion. What was the point of it, Andy?
There is none. I mean, that's all you can say. There is no point to this. GFW got some promotion. TNA, well, that's it. That's pretty much all I can say about it. I think that this is another I don't want to be mean, but it just seems that that's it.
So here's my question then. Where do you go from here?
Are you talking about GFW or TNA?
Both.
GFW, I think they're just going to continue to be a small indie promotion. Jeff Jarrett may make a few bucks. I think TNA right now, with them not having with their deal up in the air, because I think they've taped for what, the rest of October already, something like that. Okay, so what if Discovery decides, or Destination America decides, we're not going to run TNA anymore, and that's it. They're going to stick with ROH, and that's all they're going to do.
I don't know if they're going to do that, because it seems ROH they don't really care for too much. I mean, if you get rid of a time slot for them, it's pretty obvious you don't care. But okay, so I get what you're saying with TNA, though. I mean, you're talking about potentially them canceling it. What was the point of the invasion? Was it just to fill up 4 weeks of television?
Pretty much. I think that at this time, they're like, we need to write, 14 shows. And they probably thought on paper, hey, this is a great idea. But when you do with these invasion angles, I think with TNA, you'd have to go 8 weeks. Minimal. Just 8 weeks. That's what you'd have to do. There's no way around that. But unless you can think of a better reason why this happened, to me, it just seems like it's out of place. Like, they're like, I have no idea what's going on.
So let me rewrite the Invasion angle for them real quick. A couple of guys had left TNA for GFW, in particular Magnus. James Storm was going to be doing some appearances there. Eric Young did some appearances. Here's what I would have done. I would have had Jeff Jarrett come in, and when they did the reveal, I would have had Jeff Jarrett come back and say, "We're the real TNA, and we're coming back to take back my company," because it was his company they started. You know, you have a little bit of truth in there to make the angle even more exciting. And you have people that the wrestling audience already knows, because people know who Magnus is. People know who James Storm is. And if you have them come back, that adds a level of credibility. Because right now, when Chris Masters is your biggest performer, that's kind of an issue. Nothing against Chris Masters, but he's not a Robert Root. You know, he's not an AJ Styles. You know, he's not one of those guys. Yeah, he has a good look and everything, blah, blah, blah. That's what I would have done. And then I would not only would have won the tag titles, but I would have kept them. I would not have lost them then the following week. I would have done something smarmy, done a count out or something stupid like that. And then during the Six Sides of Steel match, I would have had GFW win. And the reason why is because then the angle goes on longer. Because when WCW took on WWF, did anyone in their mind think, oh yeah, WCW is so going to win here? You know, nobody thought that. And it didn't happen, obviously. WWF buried WCW. They made WCW look terrible. And I think right here, this was another example of that. If GFW won, then guess what? You have 6 more weeks of television that you can write. You can have Jeff Jarrett talk. You know, he can be run roughshod, and he can do all these crazy things in order to make TNA look or you know, good or bad or whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, they have done all these crazy things. The problem is that they didn't do that. And instead, they're focused on this Invasion angle that has ended. And now, guess what? You have a 2-week buildup. Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, you have a 2-week buildup now to Bound for Glory. So that's my issue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They have a pay-per-view. Is Bound for Glory going to have anything to do with the Invasion, or is the Invasion now just done?
I think it's just done now.
Shake my head. That's all I can say. So I'm just kind of disappointed with TNA. I think that, like I said, I think when you tape this far in advance, I mean, give credit to at least NXT. They did it smart, but this one really bothers me. You can't tape many shows.
The thing is, I'm okay with them taping all the shows, except for they got to be smart about it. You know, right now there's only 2 matches, you know, that for Bound for Glory that have been announced that we're going to find out about, you know, in the coming weeks. So I don't know.
That means you have to have 6 to 7 more matches.
Yeah. You know, 6 more matches. I mean, realistically, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I really hope for TNA, but this stretch of television, while it's been interesting, I think that they've booked it very, very poorly.
I guess this is why we don't talk about TNA that much. But anyways, instead of bashing TNA, I just want to say again, I really hope everything works out for them. I hope they're still on TV because it is entertaining, but I really think that they need to go back to taping once a month. I think they can get away with, but you can't go, once and then tape 3 months worth of TV. You need to do it every other month, tape, have at least one live show. So, but I guess we'll wait to see what happens with Bound for Glory. But anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.